Good morning. This morning we return to the study of the book of Daniel. It's about 2 months since we last looked at Daniel, but now we can listen to the voice of Daniel again. If you have the Bibles, you can open them to about page 679 in the Brown Bibles. This is Daniel, chapter 4, verses 29 to 33. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 29 to 33. Let us read them. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is this not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence, by my mighty power, and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven, "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people, and you will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Around the 4th century in the desert, there were monks or hermits who classified the sins of men into 7 categories. And these sins the 7 deadly sins are pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Thomas Aquinas said that pride is the mother of all sins. C.S. Lewis, who was the author of the Narnia stories, said that compared to pride, other sins are like the bites, of fleas. And I have spoken of this before, but St. Augustine said that in Christian faith, the most important thing is humility, but everyone is proud. And so, anybody thinks, but everybody thinks that they're humble. And so, Nebuchadnezzar, this king Nebuchadnezzar, was no exception. All are proud, but let us look at Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, in the Middle East, Nebuchadnezzar, as the king of Babylon, had taken into his own hand all the power of the kingdoms that were known then. No matter what he did, he was so powerful that he could declare it righteous. He could say that and be proud that he had more power than all the other kings of earth. In fact, he ruled over those kings. And we can say that this is pride. But Nebuchadnezzar had left us a series of feats that anyone would be proud of. And everyone envied him his power and fame and accomplishments. Nobody could complain of him, and all admired him. And he was proud of this. Perhaps in human society, he was permitted this. In fact, there was no way to avoid allowing him this pride. But in Daniel, the God of heaven, or as Daniel would say, the Most High, would teach him a lesson. And so we've seen in the first three chapters, and now in the fourth, we see how this pride would come to a final curtain. These are the words of Nebuchadnezzar himself that we see the end of this chapter. And the words that he says show us the heart of human life. In verse 37, he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." As I said before, the center of the world was the Middle East, and he had all of the power there. He could kill anybody. He held everybody's life in his hand. This was the power that he had on earth as the king. He was more powerful than any other king of earth. And what does he say of the Creator God? He says, the King of heaven. He doesn't just say this. He praises and glorifies and exalts the King of heaven. This king who was King of Kings declares God in heaven to be his king. This is the first time in Daniel, the book of Daniel, that the King of heaven, these words are used. Perhaps he was granting Nebuchadnezzar consideration or paying him his due in some sense. Yet, here these words come forth. The Creator of all things, at this time, for the first time, the Most High, this Creator God, is given the title King of Heaven. And he praises him. The King of Kings confesses that God is the King of Heaven, the King over all. I hope that you'll all read all of it, but here we want to talk about how Nebuchadnezzar is again seeing a dream, and there's a very deep dream, a very deep meaning to this dream. The dream shows us how much power and authority was granted Nebuchadnezzar in his reign. So let us look at chapter 4, verse 10 of Daniel. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and I saw there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the birds of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the middle of earth, there was this great tree, and all the living things lived there. So what was this tree? What does it symbolize? Daniel explains in verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20, Daniel's interpretation. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for all the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. All things that breathe on the earth, all these living things, are under the power of this King Nebuchadnezzar. And all of them depend on you and bow to you. It's you who is this great tree, this great king. There's no such authority on earth today, but at that time, Nebuchadnezzar was such a powerful and authoritative figure. Even God acknowledged the greatness of Nebuchadnezzar. Nevertheless, Nebuchadnezzar confesses that God in heaven is the King of heaven. He praises him, he worships him, and sings hymns to him. So, this is where the story of Nebuchadnezzar that has continued from chapter 1, this is where it ends. He was not the greatest final powerful power of earth. Again, let us look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Those who walk in pride are humbled by God. That's what the culmination of the fourth chapter of Daniel is about. What he realized at this time is that in all his life, however powerful he became, if he looks back on all of this, there's only one thing, is that the kingdom of God had humbled him in the time when he walked in pride. The most important thing in one's life is that when one becomes proud, God humbles us. The Japanese words translated in English as walk in pride have a have a connotation, a strong connotation of living your life in a prideful way. And so he's explaining how this is the important aspect of, this is the central part of your life, is where you walk. And so now, let us see how his pride, how proud was he. So let's look at Daniel, chapter 4, verse 29 to 30. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is this not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence, by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" So what is the pride here? How do we know of his pride? It's pride in the I. The word I is repeated over and over again. Or my, or me. My majesty. My authority. I built it. So this I is the essence of pride. My experience, my knowledge, my possessions, my point of view, my work, my wounds, my pain, my difficulties, my effort, my endurance, my patience, my body, my taste, my shame, my words, my thoughts, my understanding, my opinion, my taste in art, my evaluation, the evaluation that I give others, my power, my part, my figure, my place, my children, my husband, my wife, my people, my school, my company. There's no end. I comes out every time. What builds up this me, this is the essence of pride. This is well displayed by Nebuchadnezzar's words. My majesty, my power, what I have built. I'm everything. This person called me is righteous. Everyone admits me, that's my life. Everything is for my purpose, and if you don't admit it, I will feel stress. Nothing happens, nothing goes where it should without my direction. If you don't accept me, this is evil. And if I'm going to insist on my righteousness, I will topple anyone. Even to God, I'm supposed to believe in God, but my ego knocks him down, as if. Nebuchadnezzar says, "These things that I have built, the things that I have done, as I look on them from on the top of the palace, I am full of my pride." And this I becomes one's confidence, and pride becomes a pleasure. As we look back on these things that, as he looks back on the things that he built up, the pride in himself becomes very pleasant to him. To Nebuchadnezzar, I is everything. But this I, as we saw in verse 37, is going to change. Let's look at it one more time. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. He doesn't say anything about the things that he was so proud of a few verses before. Now, he praises, he sings hymns to, he worships the King of Heaven. The I in this passage has changed. Now, it is an I who has been humbled by the hand of God. If we look at this I, Nebuchadnezzar, and go back to chapter 4, verse 1, we see him saying these things. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. More than the peace of the world, this is translated here as, may you live in peace and prosper. This peace is the stability of the eye. It's not the shalom that we should pray for. That Nebuchadnezzar prays for, it's a more prideful thing. But then the Most High God becomes the center. These are the things that God has done for me, the signs and miracles. And he says that it is his joy in his life to tell about what God has done for him. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar, who had been proud of his own authority and power and glory, now testifies to the greatness of God. Now he speaks of the miraculous signs and wonders that God has performed. And Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, which was the greatest of all history, but he said that although this was the greatest earthly kingdom, God's kingdom is eternal and dominion endures. How does he express that God's kingdom is the true kingdom? By speaking of its eternity, saying that his kingdom is the kingdom that endures forever. This person who thought him calls himself I, Nebuchadnezzar, goes on to confess that the God of heaven is the ultimate authority, the ultimate power in the universe. There is this fact that comes to us that we cannot avoid in reading that God can bring the most powerful down from their pride. And this is where we see the great value of being humbled by God. I think this is a very heavy talk. I read this passage and became very heavy as I was preparing this. I wanted to speak of something very interesting and make you laugh, but I couldn't think of anything. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4. We see that the devil tests Jesus with three different things. One is to make bread from stones. The second is he takes him to the highest point of the temple and says, throw yourself down. And the third test by Satan is the greatest of all. He says, bow down to me. Worship me. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. The most important thing here is not the kingdoms that he was shown or would be given to him, but that the devil wanted Jesus to bow down to him and worship him. This I, bow down to me, worship me. And what is he offering? That people would bow down to Jesus after Jesus bows to the devil. So this I is the reality of pride, the Satan that tempts us. It's said that the devil is the father of lies, but he's also the father of pride. This lie, the essence of this lie is pride. And at the center of pride is I. It's self-centeredness. So, what did Jesus do in response? Did he try to become famous? Did he show himself to the world? Did he reveal his glory? No, he did not. He said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And that was Jesus' principle. He even went obediently to death on the cross. From the beginning to the end, it was this very Jesus who... He's the only person who never sought his own glory and power, and yet he was God. From the beginning to the end, he is the only person who was able to avoid pride in himself and accomplish all that he did by appealing to God's help. And so he was God. Jesus was not able to avoid the reality of pride. He had to fight it. Pride tosses people about. It controls people. Pride holds people in its hand and makes them dance. God tests us. This is how he treats those who are proud. And through this testing, we'll see this next week, but we can see the result for Nebuchadnezzar. In verses 31 to 33 of chapter 4, the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails like the claws of a bird. He lost the rationality of a person. He even allowed his hair and nails to grow like a wild beast, and he became lower than the wild beasts. He would experience this, and before God, in this way, he was humbled. Human beings need to experience being lower than animals before they can humble themselves. If we look at Psalm 73, verses 21 to 22. This is a song of Asaph. He was a musician or music leader, a worship leader at the time of David. And in verses 21 and 22 of this psalm, we read, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." Here Asaph says, "I was like a beast, merely an animal." In my pride, you taught me that I was less than that, less than the beast. Can you accept this? Asaph and Nebuchadnezzar, before God, they experienced this, and they were able to accept it. Before God, they accepted it and admitted it. And perhaps they were led to this, they were granted this by God. But let us look at Job as well. Chapter 42, verses 4 and 5. page 404, before the Psalms. Verse 5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Through all his troubles and pain, Job acknowledged God as good. He admitted his own sin, his own pride, and lowered himself, despised himself, repenting in dust and ashes, it says. Perhaps these men were not in what we today call a healthy mental state. They couldn't see for themselves, and they needed to be shown by God. And there was this decisive moment where they despised themselves. God taught them this. There are these places in the Bible where God says that my people are precious to me and you are precious in my sight. But the important place is when the eye is brought to a place where it can despise itself and learn humility. This is where the Beatitude says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. This means those who despise their I, their ego. If you can do that, you are a happy person. If you can humble yourself, you are a happy person. More than any period in history, we are threatened by so many things. And of course, we have all these wonderful sciences that we have learned. More than any other time, this is the newest, the most advanced technology. But what is our time like? Do we really feel that it's the greatest, most advanced society? Despite the fact that there's more knowledge than ever, we have more trouble than ever. We are faced with many crises. The Secretary General of the UN, Guterres, had a speech, and he talks about the four great crises that we are facing. The first is the confrontation of regions that includes terror and the threat of nuclear war. The second is the threat of the climate change crisis. The third is the loss of confidence from inequality. And finally is the misuse of digital technology. There's so many wonderful sciences today, but nevertheless, we have to face these crises. Why do these things happen to us? And surely this is because people, humanity, we, before God, when we are brought to the place where we should despise our egos, nevertheless, we despise others, perhaps we even despise God in our pride. Anybody can be brought to the state where they are humbled. But until then, we don't despise ourselves, we despise others, we even despise God. And so, it is the greatest happiness if God humbles us, teaches us to despise our egos, and live in faith. This is the blessing that is offered here. I hope that we can all be blessed by God with the humbleness that allows us to despise our ego. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, you have given us the words of the Bible, and we thank you. I, mine, me, our pride is within us. And even having read the Bible and heard the word now, we still want to blame others, think that there's still a possibility for us, and refuse to despise our egos. Is there no person like that? And when we are led to this, before us, when we are taken to that place, we still try to despise others rather than ourselves. Lord, when we are brought to that place, when you are humbling us, please guide us and lead us to despise our egos and newly see how wonderful you are. Please guide us. You are the one who was able to humble the proud Nebuchadnezzar. Let us confess that. Let us understand it and profess it. Please teach us humility. Let us experience that. And as you walk with us, let us walk with you. We give thanks for today's Bible reading. Jesus was despised, and in his name we pray. Amen.